Hey, you know this actor, Matthew McConaughey? You know him? Yeah, he's famous for one catchphrase. That's pretty much his whole career. He's very monotone. All his acting parts are very monotone. Here's my impression of Matthew McConaughey getting very upset with somebody. Here we go. I'm very upset with you. I can't believe you did that. I'm very, very upset. My face is turning red, and I'm crazy angry at you right now. Anyway, Matthew McConaughey, and his popularity now is putting on a suit, sitting inside of a Lincoln automobile, and driving it around. Not many people can do that. Matthew McConaughey is in the news because he is very upset that many actors in Hollywood are bad-mouthing Donald Trump. And Matthew McConaughey thinks Donald Trump is wonderful. He actually licks his shit from his ass every morning. He thinks he's a wonderful man. So now Matthew McConaughey has taken it upon himself to trash anybody that trashes Trump. So we got a trash thing going on. And Hollywood is blackballing him, which is an ugly thought when you look at it literally. But they're saying, no, Matthew, don't talk to us like that. We're not going to hire you right now. So that's where that's at. Matthew just loves Trump. He says, who couldn't love Trump? Well, I'm raising my hand. And that just starts to make me think that everything has just unraveled into pure hell. There is absolutely no feeling of people coming together. There is absolutely no feeling of any type of movement or wonderful things in the future. It's not doom, but it certainly ain't no hope involved here. All the things that Trump considered to be hope for the future, he said without a smile on his face, and he sold it by running around claiming doom is coming. You better do something to stop doom, when indeed he is doom. He's doom personified. I love the word doom. I got a show to do. I don't have time to talk to you anymore. Here we go.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yee, gosh.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I can't believe that. It's true. You'll see. You'll see.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Listen to me how I think I care. Oh, Lord. Man. Yesterday was supposed to be a horrible, horrible day for the Northeast as winter storm Stella headed up the coast. of New England hitting Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and then Massachusetts. Expected snowfall was to be anywhere between a foot and 2 feet of snow with extremely high winds, flooding, death and destruction, the whole bit. And everybody went to the supermarkets on Monday to batten down the hatches. There were going to be power outages. The firstborn of every family was going to be impaled on a stake. It was going to be horrible. It was going to be horrible. The trees were going to fall on people. Houses collapsing was going to be awful. It's going to be awful. Earth opening up, swallowing people into a fiery hell. That happened, but only in upstate New York, where it happens frequently. Actually, the storm hugged the coast, which means that it brought some warm air up, and it reduced snow totals by about half of what they were supposed to be, what was being forecast. Yet places like Maine, northern Connecticut, Worcester County in Massachusetts, upstate New York, Albany, got pounded with up to 2 feet of snow, and then some. So it was just a question of where it was distributed, not the fact that the storm was lighter than thought. It just was took a different track than thought. And I love the meteorologists who go, well, you know, these things are tough. These things are tough to call. When they're right, they go, well, I told you. I told you it was going to happen. I told you it was going to snow. I told you you're going to get this much stuff. Didn't I tell you all to stay off the roads? Didn't I tell you? I told you, didn't I? That's the Trump forecast, I call it. But then when they're a little bit wrong, when, well, you know, we said there'd be a foot of snow in Boston, or it was only like 6 inches or 4 inches. This is a tricky one. This was a tricky one. And one meteorologist actually said, this is the storm that weather students will be studying for a long time because it was very, very difficult to forecast. And the slightest movement would have changed it. And it's probably all true, but at the same time, well, just shut up and tell me if it's going to rain or not, pretty much. I mean, I really don't care what you're saying. I mean, thanks for the warning. Thanks a lot. I have a lot of extra bread and milk right now. And I better get to making sandwiches or something like that, because I got some produce to use up before it goes bad. And if there's any kind of zombie apocalypse, I'm pretty set with canned food, so I'm all right now. Damn it, forgot to get a can opener. Wouldn't that be awful if you got like tons and tons of canned food to last you 10, 20 years in your basement, and then the zombie apocalypse occurs, and it actually happening, and you've got all the canned goods, and you think you're good, and everything, and then you say to yourself, crap, I forgot to buy a can opener. Wouldn't that be funny? That'd be a great episode for The Twilight Zone. Anyway, which I think I'm in right now, by the way. I think for some odd reason I've been thrusted into that program. So yesterday they were doing the school closings. They are always on the bottom of your television screen. They list all the school closings. What they basically did in all of New England was they listed all the schools. It wasn't a list of school closings. It was like, here's all the schools that have been built and are now in operation. Here's the list. Because not one of those schools was open. They should have had a list of the schools that were open. That might have been like three of them, three stupid schools who don't really watch the weather reports very much. And maybe have three students. They may have been open, but not even them. So I just found it fascinating that, you know, just let's list all the schools instead of just the schools that might still for some reason be open. It was absurd. It was the funniest thing I had seen in a long time, and I see a lot of funny things. Here's all the schools in captivity. Let's list them. Now, Massachusetts, of course, they were doing that. And I just laughed every time the cycle came around to the A's, because they list them alphabetically, quite obviously, you know that. In Massachusetts, there are two towns that alphabetically come right after each other. Their public schools were closed. But it's just odd that these two towns alphabetically come after each other. And the two towns are, the first town that comes up is Assabet. ASSABET. You better you ass it does. Assabet, it's just a funny name for a town. I can't imagine the founding fathers just sitting around saying, what are we going to call this place? Let's call it Assabet. You bet your ass we will. Well, that's funny. Let's call our town that. The town that comes up right after Assabet on the bottom of the screen is Athol, A-T-H-O-L. Spelled differently, probably because you have a lisp. So you're seeing at the bottom of the screen, Assabet and then Athol, and you can't help but not laugh. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't help but laugh. That was a double negative. Little lesson for you kids. Little lesson for your kids there. So that was the funniest thing that happened yesterday, and I'm just really thrilled about it because I think it's just a gem. This morning, I opened up my emails because that's what I do in the morning. I do. I get up. I take my pills, and they're not extreme pills. Don't worry about it. They have nothing to do with my mental condition. They are. I take a couple of pills there. I take. I have a borderline high blood pressure, which means I get ticked off a lot internally. So I'm on the lowest dose. I take that in the morning. That's probably, and I took a fish oil pill because, as I've said in the past, fish are the healthiest things in the world. They are fish are made of fish oil. It's in their blood. They are fish. They have fish oil. That's where you get the oil from. The fish is supposed to be healthy for humans. But at the same time, every time I buy goldfish, they die within 10, 15 minutes. So how healthy is the fish oil for them? Not much. But I take the fish oil pill and I take a multivitamin because it multi doesn't work. All a multivitamin does is turn my piss orange. Apparently, same thing that happened to Trump's face. So I really don't know how that goes. I don't know much about it. So anyway, so I'm opening up my emails and all of a sudden I'm getting... I had a problem with Comcast yesterday. I do on an annual basis. They try to raise my cable bill every year. They give me a fantastic deal. They tell me how much the cable bill will be for 2 years. And I say, good, that's a good price. And then after 1 year, the price goes up. And I always call them up and I say, this is not the deal that we talked about. And they say, well, we're sorry, but prices go up. I said, yes, but you quoted me a price. You can't just say, but prices go up. They say, a lot of it is taxes and fees. So we don't know how much taxes and fees are going to go up. I say, why not? Why don't you know that? Figure that in. Tell me, be honest with me. Don't give me a certain price, and then a year later, you're charging me something else when you tell me it's going to be the same price for 2 years. It's not the same price, but it's the taxes and fees. I don't give a crap what you call it. It's a different price. So every year, I go into battle with them because Comcast just is compatible. And they have the nerve while I'm trying to bargain a price with them. And by the way, it's like buying a Persian rug. You have to bargain with them. You have to threaten them. Well, I'm going to go to Verizon if you don't lower the cost. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, don't do that, Ron. Oh, God, please don't do that. Oh, my God, please don't do that. So they lower the price, when you threaten them, you know, which is very, very admirable. But at the end of the conversation, the guy on the phone, he says to me, and what do you have for security in your home? And I said, well, I'm all set with security. I have a security company. He says, well, how much you paying? I said, first of all, I just told you I was all set. And secondly, why would I want to buy something else from you when you can't even keep the price straight for my cable bill? Why would I enter into any other kind of business with you when I have to call you every year to straighten this out? And the guy on the phone actually said, I totally understand. What a bad telemarketer that is. You're not supposed to say, I totally understand. You're supposed to argue with me. You're supposed to go to page 2 of your telemarketing rule book and say, if the customer says no, then you say this. Guy just gave up. He said, nah, you know, you got a point. That's probably, I felt a little good about that. So this morning I opened up my email and I get this email that says, Comcast survey, thank you for contacting Comcast yesterday. Can you please answer this survey? And I said, yeah, I can. This is good. This is good. They go through, most of the questions are, would you recommend Comcast to your friends or family? And it goes anywhere from definitely not, go fuck yourself, to yes, indeed, wonderful, I love Comcast. I went down to the bottom of the bar and said, no, I would never tell my friends and family about you, much less recommend you, because I can't, because you're horrible. And then they asked me to explain why, and I did. And then I clicked send, and then I said to myself, you know what? You know what? This is the new thing now. This is the new thing. These companies send you surveys, or you get a receipt in a store, and they say, go to this website and take the survey, and you can win $1,000. Everything's survey. And here's why. Because consumers feel important when they can voice their opinion. We're all into voicing our opinion on Facebook and commenting on various newspaper articles and things online. Everybody's got an opinion now. Look at me. I've got an opinion. I do a talk show. The general public has got this. Now their opinions are valuable, you see. Rate this product so that when people buy this product, they can see how you felt about the product. Would you recommend this product? Rate the product. Rate this hotel. Please rate this customer service employee. They're into this because the consumer feels good, like they're being paid attention to. I ended that sentence in a preposition. I apologize for that. I know better. I know better than doing that. Then I realized the survey that I just clicked to send to Comcast, they're never going to read that. They don't care how I feel about them. And you're saying, Ron, no, they really do. You know what? I don't trust them, so I think they really don't. Look, this guy doesn't like us. He wouldn't recommend us. Whatever. Whatever. We've got millions of other customers. We don't need that stupid Jew. We don't need him. That's the way they're feeling. They're not even reading it. My send button is like a delete button to them. And I know it's true. And it's just another example of, in my head, how we are being played and manipulated. We always have been. It's just now we talk about it. And the realization of being manipulated is sad. I loved being manipulated and not knowing that I was being manipulated. That was heaven. Now I know that I'm being played by every business, by every telemarketer, by everybody, except you. You don't play me much. I play you, but you don't play me. We're being played. We're being manipulated, and especially by government, whether it be the Obama administration, the Trump administration, the Oprah administration, I don't care. Whether it be watching Dr. Phil or any television show, we're all being manipulated so that they can get a certain outcome out of us. And it's sad. It's always been, but I never knew it. It never came to the forefront. Now it's in the front of the fore. Now I know it. Let's move on. Shall I? Shall we? Shall I? Shall you? Shall we move on? Yeah. That's Jason Shaw in the background. Thanks, Jason Shaw. He does the music for our program. Thank you, sir. I'll tell you about an event that's coming up on Wednesday, March 22nd. If you live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island or New Hampshire, this is doable for you. In the lovely city of Brockton, which is about 20 miles south of Boston, about 30 miles north of Providence, you'll find the Massasoit Conference Center. That's where, it's a gigantic ballroom, and that's where the 25th annual Taste of Metro South is taking place. Here's what it is. You may be familiar with this kind of thing. There are food vendors and restaurants from the area, up to 40 of them, 40 plus actually, and they all bring their foods there. And they cook right there, and they bring them there, and you pay one admission price, you walk into this gigantic ballroom, and you walk around, and you just eat a little bit of everything. It is, this is like the ultimate buffet. And if you like a certain restaurant's food, go back up to their table and get some more. They're hoping that if you like it so much, you'll go to their restaurant, sit down, and have a meal. But anyway, over 40 different food people will be there with their finest examples of their cuisine. And you just walk around and you eat it, man. It's wonderful. Desserts, entrees, appetizers, you name it. It's all there. Alcohol, beer, you love this stuff. Yeah, I know. Tasty crap, huh? Huh? 40 area restaurants and food vendors will be there. There'll be live entertainment. I will be there. We're going to be doing a live podcast from this event as well. Tori Lagarde, who often does the show with me, will be with me as well. Come over and say hello. We can get acquainted and touch each other. No touching. This is Wednesday, March 22nd at the Massasoit Conference Center, 5:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Tickets are going fast. They will sell out. So how do you get tickets? Well, it's not so hard to do. Go to MetroSouthTaste.com. MetroSouthTaste.com. There you can get tickets and get all the information you need. Or you can call them if you would like, 508-586-0500. 508-586-0500. Get some more information there. That's coming up on Wednesday, March 22nd. The Taste of Metro South. Tasty stuff. Love the bass at the end. I mean, I don't love it like love, but it's nice. I like it. I don't love it. I don't love it. Thank God there's not a little love thing on Facebook where you can love it. I think that would get a little creepy. You know what I'm saying? You can like something, but to love it, that's going a little too far. Let's reserve that for love purposes, I guess. Like the Love Boat. Remember the show, The Love Boat? All the B actors, all the people who you knew their name, but you kind of thought they were dead. They all appeared on a show called The Love Boat. It was about a luxury liner that would set sail, and the cast and crew was the staff of the boat, and all these strange characters would come on board as tourists, and they were the B actors that you thought were dead. And they acted horribly, and they would have little love flings and things like that. No hot and heavy sex or anything. But I don't know who watched that show. I think you had to be like kind of drunk to appreciate it. And when you're kind of drunk, I think you can appreciate anything. You can watch paint dry and find it to be a fascinating experience. It's a waste of time, but at the same in the same sense, it does make your walls look nice. I don't know. I think watching paint dry is a very good example of life. You can go through your life watching paint dry, or you can go do something and come back later and look at the nice walls. I prefer to come back later and look at the nice walls. Unless I've had too much to drink, then I'll watch the paint dry, which is a fascinating thing to do. It doesn't dry immediately. It dries like kind of over a little bit of time, and it's fascinating how it does that. I have no idea what I'm talking about anymore. I really don't. Hey, ay, ay. How are you? You good?
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really, a mensch.
I'm in love with my pharmacist. Not really. Just said that to get a rise out of you. Every once in a while, we talk about these over-the-counter drugs and how, you know, just because they sell them in the pharmacia, again, it used to be drugstore, can't say that anymore. Drugs got a bad connotation, man. It's a pharmacia. And just because it's on the counter doesn't mean it's safe for you. It can interact with other drugs, and it may not be good. And if you have kids, you have to doubly be careful. So we thought it'd be interesting to talk to Breanne Taylor, who is a pharmacist. I love pharmacists. They're doctors, but not really, but they're nicer.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Breanne, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Breanne Taylor is a pharmacist, and give me all your titles, because you have a lot of letters after your name.
So I'm a clinical pharmacy specialist.
Okay.
I have my doctorate of pharmacy, and then I'm also a board-certified clinical pharmacy specialist.
Wow. I'm just a talk show host, so you win on that one. Okay.
That's so important.
Okay. All right, we're talking about a special week here going on.
Yes, we have National Patient Safety Awareness Week.
Excellent. Okay. Now, is this geared more toward children or adults or everybody?
So the focus of our, what we're going to talk about is we want to share important tips that parents should keep in mind when giving medicines to their children.
Okay. Now, when a child has pain and you go to the medicine cabinet, your immediate thought is anything it takes to make my child well and to make my child comfortable. But anything doesn't go, does it?
No, that's right. Anything does not go. And so whenever you're giving medicines to a child, you have to make sure that the medicine is specifically formulated for them. So usually what you or I are taking is not okay for a small child.
Okay. Is the labeling on these over-the-counter products accurate, or should they all be checked with a pharmacist or doctor? How believable is all that? Has that been working?
So, you know, that information on the back of a label is simply a guide. However, for my patients, I recommend that they always check with a pharmacist or a doctor before giving their child anything over the counter. Making sure that you're giving the right dose is really important, especially if your child is on other medications.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that they can receive what you're giving them and that you're giving them the right amount.
Okay, so that must be a common problem if your child is on any kind of medication, that something over-the-counter doesn't mean it's safe.
Exactly.
Okay, so that can interact negatively with what the child may be taking, or perhaps two over-the-counters can not work out.
Exactly. So, for example, cough and cold products.
Okay.
Oftentimes, those are what we call combination products. So, inside one pill or inside one dose of medication, there's lots of different active ingredients.
Uh-huh.
If you start mixing those together, you run the risk of giving your child the same thing over and over, and that's whenever we have overdoses or increased side effects.
Okay. A lot of people go to the internet, and it's a wonderful thing. It's also a horrible thing.
Exactly.
Should one be doing that, even though parents do exactly that almost all the time?
Sure. So I think the important thing to keep in mind whenever you're looking at things on the internet is anybody can put something on the internet.
Mm.
So what you're reading may not be accurate or correct information.
Yes.
ASHP actually has a website called safemedication.com, and it provides illustrated instructions on how to give medications to children, as well as a tip sheet for parents to use for the safe use of medicines in children.
Okay.
And so really making sure, you know, if you're choosing those websites, that it's from an accredited source.
All right. I see here that you think it's a good idea to make a list of the medication that your child is on regularly. Why is that good?
Most definitely. So, you know, whether your child's on one medicine or 10 medicines, having that list and then sharing that list with anybody who's going to take care of your child, whether it be a grandparent, a babysitter, even the school, because prescription medications, as we mentioned, can interact with over-the-counter medicines. And so anytime you need to add something additional or give your child an extra medication, you always want to double-check that list to make sure what you're adding or giving is safe to give in terms of everything else they're receiving.
Brianne, what's our definition of a child? I know on the labels of things it says children and adults. What usually is the cutoff there?
Sure. So, you know, it just totally depends. In hospital world, we consider anybody who's less than 18. For the purposes of, you know, a lot of cough and cold medications, children who are less than 2 actually should not receive cough and cold medications. And so it, you know, it sort of depends on the particular product that you're looking at, as well as how much the child weighs. That's how we determine how much to give in that case.
Okay, so here's a problem. Let's say a kid is 13 years old, 15 years old. They had totally the capability to walk into a bathroom, into a kitchen, grab a bottle of medication, and take it on their own, for either because they need it because they have some pain or some health concern, or perhaps they may find it to be fun. What do you do about that? Because a parent can't always be home, and these quote-unquote children have the ability to self-medicate themselves.
Exactly. So, you know, that's a tough question. You know, the biggest thing you can do is provide education to your child or your teenager. So letting them know that just because you can get it over the counter, it's not, you know, you can't just take anything that you want.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you're taking the appropriate amount. If that means putting it in a place where they don't know about, then, you know, maybe that's it. But really just, you know, using that education before they're even in that situation.
Okay. And what about these pill box things that are very popular now, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday things?
Yeah. So I actually have my transplant patients use them because, you know, they do serve as memory aids, especially when you're on multiple medications a day that requires multiple doses a day. The big thing to remember with the pill boxes is that they're not child-proof. So if you do have a small child, making sure that you're keeping it out of their reach. If there are other members of the family or in the house that are on medications, making sure that you aren't getting medications mixed up and accidentally putting a medicine in the pill box. It doesn't belong there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because once you put them in the little dispenser things, you don't kind of remember which is which anymore, especially if you're on a multiple medications. All right. There's a lot to be considered. And why is this so important? Is it rampant that these things cause problems indeed?
You know, there are. They estimate that about 160 children go to a hospital emergency room every day as a result of accidental medication overdose. And so, you know, that's whether that be prescription medications or just something over the counter. So it's really important to make sure you know what you're giving your child, how much you're giving your child, how often you should be giving their medication to prevent that from happening.
Yeah. And to know when you should take food with it or when you should take liquid with it, that's important too, because that can hurt your body in negative ways, even though it's helping something else, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So where do I get more information? Apparently there's a lot to be had, and this is Awareness Week for this.
Sure. So, you know, we always like to promote using the pharmacist as a resource.
Uh-huh.
They're everywhere. They know about medications. They can provide you with tips. They can provide you with recommendations on what to use, how much to give. So they're always a great resource, whether it's in person or just simply calling your local pharmacy.
Yeah. I don't want to say this publicly, although I guess we are. Sometimes the pharmacists are nicer than the doctors. I said it. You didn't. I said it. I said
it.
I said it. It's my fault. Okay. Thank you so much. What's that website again?
It's safemedication.com.
Thank you, Brianne Taylor, for everything today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So anyhow, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay. Anyway, oh, okay. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The three sweetest words in podcasting? Ron Van Dam. Wow. Gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
Whatever.
All right, fine. Well, we're just about out of time for today. You've been wonderful today. You've been so patient with me and so loving and so caring. And you've just been great. I really want to thank you. Thank you so much. I got something to show you. This is a picture of my dog wearing a little sweater that I had bought for the dog and wearing the sweater. Here's the picture. Isn't that beautiful? Here's a picture of my dog squatting down to take a poop when I took it for a walk in the morning.
Aww.
Here's a picture of me putting that nice little sweater that I bought for the dog in the sink to wash off the poop that got on the end of the sweater.
Aww.
Here's a picture of me putting the sweater in the washing machine and trying to figure out what setting to put a dog sweater on the washing machine.
Aww.
Realizing they don't have a setting for dog sweaters on my washing machine.
Aww.
Here's me taking the dog sweater out of the washing machine, wondering if I should put it in the dryer or hang dry it.
Aww.
Here's me throwing the sweater away because I'm so frustrated and I don't want to deal with sweaters anymore.
Aww.
That's it. That's it. That's about it, as far as the sweater's concerned for my dog. Spring is supposed to be here in a few days. I laugh at that concept. What are you kidding me? What are you kidding me? This is nothing like spring. This is worse than the middle of winter, as a matter of fact. What the hell's going on? Is it perhaps climate change? Perhaps the climate ain't changing like it's supposed to. When I think of spring, I think of flowers blooming. Wasn't it interesting that about 2 weeks ago, the big story was that the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. were blooming really too early, weeks ahead of time. And then they get some snow. They were supposed to get like 8 inches of snow. They only got 2 or 3 in Washington, D.C. But yet, how is that doing for the cherry blossoms to have snow falling upon them? You see, here's what's going on. The planet is spinning out of control, and it's all Trump's fault, and he won't do anything about it anyway. Someday, I will wake up from this dream, and I will be angry at somebody for inducing me into this nightmarish hell. I'm waiting for that day to occur. Every night when I go to bed, I wonder if when I wake up, it will have all been some type of horrendous nightmare. But then I realize that's probably not the case anymore. That might have been the case the day after the election, but not anymore. I'm coming to that realization that something went horribly wrong.
Aww.
All right. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. There'll be a short survey at the end of this program. Please take it and tell me how you feel about the show. Please wait until the music has stopped. satisfaction survey is coming up in about 30 seconds. Please stay tuned. Thank you for agreeing to take this satisfaction survey. This is being recorded. The results of this survey will be passed on to our superiors here at New England Broadcasting. Here's the question. Would you recommend the Ron Van Dam Show to your friends? And if so, did you enjoy today's program?
It was unbelievably painful.
I don't care.